On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It was a busy weekend for politics in America, and we'll size up Wisconsin. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has requested his chamber's Committee on Campaigns and Elections to investigate how the state election was administered. Voss said in a statement Friday there should be no question as to whether the vote was fair and legitimate. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin Elections Commission has not reported any suspected voter fraud cases in this election. How do you feel about the Assembly Speaker's actions using the legislature's subpoena power to gather testimony to search for irregularities? We're at 800-642-1234. J.R. Ross is editor of wispolitics.com. He's covered state politics for more than 20 years. J.R., welcome back to the Ideas Network.
How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. So Joe Biden won Wisconsin with fewer than 21,000 votes. President Trump's campaign has said there are too many irregularities with Wisconsin's presidential election ballots to trust the outcome. So what is the status of a recount here?
Well, right now what's going on is the counties are going through the canvas process. And in that, basically, all the local clerks go back through their numbers they report on election night, double check everything, send them to the county double checks everything, the county sends an official report to the Elections Commission. I believe it is due sometime next week, but it's often done before that. And the key there is when the last one comes in, the final county canvas report, you have one business day after that until you have to file a request for a recount. So I would guess sometime next week, roughly, we'll know what's going to happen. But at this point, you know, we're not seeing anything that looks out of the ordinary. I mean, it seems like the focus from Trump supporters has been on Milwaukee and with the late swing toward Joe Biden in Wisconsin. But we've been through this before in Wisconsin. Remember, in 2018, kind of similar thing happened. Governor Walker and Tony Evers were in a neck and neck gubernatorial race. All of a sudden, late on Tuesday night, Milwaukee said, hey, we've got a lot more absentee ballots to count. Once those ballots were counted, things went in Tony Evers' direction. Same thing happened here, where I was up all night long last Tuesday. I let Milwaukee finish his count around 3 a.m. It's no surprise, it's a Democratic county. The people who voted by mail were largely Democrats, and those numbers swung toward Joe Biden, and that's provided a big part of the margin that he ended up having. So far, we've seen nothing unusual. And I've seen, you know, people, oh, there were all these ballots where they only had votes for president. That's not unusual in Wisconsin. We have drop off all the time. I haven't looked at yet at the number of ballots with only a presidential vote on them compared to past years, but it happened before. The Milwaukee count was not unusual. It's interesting, the speaker, Robin Voss.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
He wants to focus on Milwaukee.
Right. On the home front here, what is Assembly Speaker Voss seeking to do?
Well, he wants to, his release on Friday afternoon was that he wanted to look at a quote unquote voter dump, a vote dump, and also look at Milwaukee and its tally. Now, what's kind of interesting is Milwaukee had 161,000 roughly absentee ballots that it counted on Tuesday into Wednesday morning. Green Bay had 31,000 roughly. Green Bay finished 2 hours after Milwaukee, but Green Bay wasn't mentioned by Robin Voss in his release. We don't know why, because he wasn't talking much after putting out the statement. I think it's also important to note that at the same time that Speaker Voss put out that statement, Republican leaders in Michigan and Pennsylvania did similar things. In Michigan, I believe they were going to convene an oversight committee of both houses. Again, Republican-led legislature. In Pennsylvania, the GOP legislative leaders asked the Democratic governor for an audit of the elections. What's in common? Well, they're all three states that are part of the quote-unquote blue wall that President Trump won 4 years ago, that Joe Biden flipped back, and you still have Republican legislatures and Democratic governors. So they're a little bit of the focus of the allegations of something going on that's off. I mean, Pennsylvania, obviously a lot more attention than Wisconsin right now, but This does not seem to be an isolated request by Robin Voss in light of what happened last Tuesday.
We have J.R. Ross, editor of wispolitics.com. We're rewinding on the election and what we know so far. How do you feel about the results in your district? Did any of the results surprise you? Were you satisfied with the outcome of local races? And should there be a recount? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So JR, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett told the Journal Sentinel that the allegations of irregularities or voter fraud are hogwash, that they live streamed the counting. They had observers from both parties. It was open to the press. He called Voss's request for an investigation sour grapes. What do you think will transpire at the Capitol?
Well, what we're waiting to hear, Ron Tussler is a Republican from the Appleton area. He's a lawyer. He's the chair of this committee. When I talked to him on Friday, he said he was going to try and figure out a day to meet. He was hoping to do it between the end of that county canvass process and the deadline for a recount. That's a very narrow window.
Yeah.
So unless he misspoke, that's not a lot of time to do much. He hoped to issue subpoenas the next couple of weeks and go from there. But so we don't have a date yet when they're going to meet. We don't know how Democrats are going to, if they're going to participate. We saw a number of statements on Friday, late Friday, from the Democrats on the committee saying this was basically a farce. So we got to watch that. But right now, we don't know how it's going to work. And we were told on Friday by the Speaker's office that more would be released after tomorrow. Tomorrow is a leadership election in the Assembly GOP caucus. So Voss is running for election as Speaker. He is, I believe, going to get a challenge. But people I talk to don't believe it's going to be successful because the Republicans had a pretty decent night last week. So assuming Robin Voss is still Speaker after tomorrow, we will find out then what is going to be the process, maybe some more details about it. And right now, we just don't really know what they're going to do other than this idea of issuing subpoenas, having a committee hearing, and trying to investigate what happened on Tuesday.
Well, speaking of leadership, Senate Republicans elected new leadership in Devin LeMahieu, who was elected the new majority leader, taking over longtime leader Scott Fitzgerald, who's heading to Congress. What will this change in leadership mean for the direction of the state Senate?
To be determined, because, you know, Scott Fitzgerald, if you followed him over the last, decade that he's been running that caucus, you know, Fitzgerald had this kind of this touch with Senate Republicans. While they're all Republicans, they have different factions in that caucus. Mm-hmm. And Fitzgerald was able to let the caucus kind of find its balance. Then he'd come in and seal the deal. I call it the Fitz slow jam. He kind of let them do their work and then figured out the end. And people would always ask Fitzgerald, do you have the votes for Bill X? And say, oh, I don't know. I don't know. And people go, oh my gosh, they don't have the votes yet. Well, actually, Fitz didn't know because he didn't count it yet. He never counted until he had to. And that might seem minor, but it allowed the caucus to feel like it was figuring things out rather than being forced some way. So the question now is with Devin LeMahieu is, can he have that same touch with this caucus? Because in the vote last week, he was running against Roger Roth, a Republican from Appleton. Roger told me there were four votes that tied that went 10-10. Because right now there are 20 members of that caucus, but Fitzgerald didn't vote because he's leaving for Congress in January, right?
Mm-hmm.
There were four straight votes that were 10-10. And then Roger asked for unanimous consent to expunge the record and unanimously elect Devin LeMahieu, the tour leader, which is a super classy move for somebody who wanted something so badly. The question I have now is, okay, there were 10 people who did not want Devin LeMahieu as a tour leader. How is he going to manage a caucus with those that split? How will he bring it together? Who's he going to put in the Joint Finance Committee, for example? This is the Budget Committee. Those are big appointments. There are all these questions about how he's going to lead them going forward. And can he have that same success with that caucus in terms of not directing it, but managing it, the way Fitzgerald did?
Talking with J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com, looking at Election Day, what happened, and going forward, what 2021 will hold at the state capitol, with your thoughts as well at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with J.R. Ross and more State Cap on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We will be taking stock of some of the 180 ballot measures that went before voters on Election Day. In all, 51 local school district referendums were on the ballot, 84% passed. How do you feel about voting on school referendums? Do you think this is the right path for districts to seek extra funding? What about to sustain programs and services? Was a school's question on your ballot? It's 800-642-1234 to join in. J.R. Ross is editor of WisPolitics.com, and he stays with us as our guide this half hour. Let's take a call now. Tom is joining us from Burlington. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind this morning?
I'm in Robin Voss's district. He ran an ad that called his opponent a socialist. And Mr. Voss owns many rental properties, and the rental people can deduct 10% off every year off the cost of their property. It's a subsidy, and no one should be calling someone a socialist. And you guys might want to just look at the rental properties he has and the popcorn business he has. He's done things that are very, very questionable from my point of view, and I wish he'd get along with the Democrats, and let's keep going forward here, because we have Union Grove School has closed down in his district. The COVID is a real, real problem, and people are still spitting people's faces for wearing masks.
Okay, so Tom, I want to pause there and ask JR the question, you know, by Voss asking about the legitimacy of this election by getting the committee on campaigns and elections involved, is he turning the focus to something else and not his district? And what will this do to Voss on the political level?
Well, it is feeding my perception from talking to people, as far as this is about feeding the Trump supporters' belief that something went awry. Now, this could come up that they could go through this process and find nothing went wrong and reaffirm it. But it is in the noise right now of the Trump campaign claiming irregularities without much proof, if any. It's just kind of feeding into that noise right now. So we'll see how that plays out on his front.
So Republicans also elected Chris Kapinga as a Senate president. Mm-hmm. What do we have in Kapinga in this role?
Well, if you add Kapinga and Lemahieu being elected to those two leadership roles, the caucus has taken a turn to the right in terms of its leadership. Now, Scott Fitzgerald is never going to be called a rhino, okay? He is hardcore Republican. He went through the Act 10 fights. He went through right to work. But because he had been through those big battles, he also had the ability to do compromises that you have to do as a leader without losing his credibility. With Lemahieu and Kapinga, you have two guys who are more conservative. And if you look at it, was Fitzgerald and Roth in those two positions this session. Roth was viewed as more of the more moderate wing of the Senate caucus. So the question becomes, how do they, again, manage that caucus, how they interact with Robin Voss and with Governor Evers? There's a perception of people I talked to that the election of Devin and Chris was about some members of that Republican Senate caucus wanting somebody they thought would stand up to Robin Voss. Robin has been the Capitol now for, elected 2004 the first time. He was an aide before that. He's been around politics for a long time. Fitzgerald had been around longer than that. Now you have a new leader against Robin Voss, who is this seasoned veteran, right? I get the perception they want somebody who they felt could stand up to Robin, not be bulldozed by him in trying to negotiate things on the budget or various legislation, especially with the dynamic that they have with Governor Evers, where Governor Evers is up for re-election in 2022, and how Republicans try to either work with him or undermine him the next 2 years.
Mm. We're talking with WIS Politics editor J.R. Ross as we discuss the election, the makeup of the state capitol heading into 2021, and the dynamics, the optics, with your insights, 800-642-1234. J.R., I want to turn now to the referenda, and starting with the Madison School District, which passed two referendums Tuesday by more than 50%, slightly more support for the capitol referendum. What will these additional funds mean for the school district?
Massive remodels of the four high schools. My oldest son's at La Follette. I've coached a lot of youth sports in Madison, been in the high school and the middle schools a lot in gym space. Just basically spruce them up, make them more functional, redo a lot of the HVAC systems, aging infrastructure, the whole nine yards. So the large part is going to do stuff like that.
How did other school referenda do on Tuesday?
Well, looking back at my notes, we had about 2/3 of the referendum that were approved, roughly. There's $1.2 billion on the ballot, according to one of my colleagues. Interesting note, In 2020, I believe we had nearly $3 billion in school referendums on the ballot. What's happening is, if you think about it, under former Governor Walker and Republicans, they went through a process where they tried to limit property taxes. We call it buying down the levy. What I mean by that is you have all these programs in government in Wisconsin where there's a mix of state dollars and local property tax dollars. The more state dollars you put in, and these caps we have on spending, the less you rely on property taxes. And Scott Walker was very much dedicated to trying to keep the property tax bill down. But by doing that, and homeowners not seeing the property tax bill go up, it probably helps set the stage for districts to be able to successfully push for this referendum, because people are going, okay, well, I see the schools, and in my mind, they're not doing as great as they should. My property tax bill has not been going up. I'm okay with an extra $20 a year or $50 a year. So in a way, Republicans kind of trying to hold down property taxes paved the way for locals to approve raising their own property taxes.
The village of Heartland in Waukesha County had an $8.5 million funding referendum on the ballot for their high school that just narrowly squeaked by. Was this one controversial?
Yeah, and actually, if you look, the school referendums that didn't pass are largely in more Republican areas. I think Wausau is another place that had some referendum that failed. It's, you know, if you think about it, a lot of these Republican areas are a little less thrilled with the idea of paying more property taxes. So that is a barrier to these districts, with the sentiment from voters of, you know, I'm not really thrilled about the idea of raising my property taxes for X, Y, and Z. You should live within your means because you already have X, Y, and Z.
Let's bring in Steve now in Sun Prairie with thoughts on the referendums. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yes, these referendums over the past 8 years or so have just been so out of control, with districts pushing and pushing for more. Has there ever been any discussion about any referendum that goes through, there would be some type of pro rata decrease in the amount of state aid? Let those places pay their own taxes as opposed to spreading it across the rest of the state.
Steve, thanks.
Yes.
Yeah, JR, go ahead.
Yeah, that's actually one that there's been a discussion about, that how to try and limit what the state picks up if you locals approve their own property tax, or having it decrease state funding in some way. There's been talk about a cooling off period, that if you do a referendum, how long you'd have to wait till you could go back to voters again, because we've seen multiple districts that fail one time, tweak it, wait for a different election, come back again. We see proposals about limiting when you can ask voters to weigh in on a referendum and making it be a certain elections. So these are all Republican ideas about doing things to try and rein in this local control. Now, with Republicans control of both houses of legislature and Democratic Governor Tony Evers, those things aren't going to pass, because Governor Evers is going to argue that locals have it's local control. If locals want to increase their property taxes, they should have that option. Remember, Governor Evers is a former state superintendent of education. So I don't see any of those changes or any new ideas being approved in the next 2 years. But that's something to keep an eye on if and when Republicans have full control again, if they try and do things like that.
11 counties had non-binding referenda that asked about redistricting, changing the way we draw our political maps. What did you see there?
You know, they've proven popular. Every time they've been on the ballot, people like the idea of it. In practice, nothing's going to change. Republican lawmakers are not going to approve anything that would give up the power to draw those maps. Number two, the governor tried to do like a little bit of an end around legislature with this people's commission, these people's maps, he's calling them. What that's really about is he's having these hearings around the state to get input on a set of maps. That's all about the court fight that's going to happen in 2021. At some point, lawmakers may try and draw maps next year. Governor Evers will almost surely veto them. Then we'll go to court. So the question is, which court will draw the maps, the state Supreme Court or a federal court? What I'm guessing is that Governor Evers' People's Commission, the maps that commission produces, will present the court, say, here's an option for you to put a map in place that was drawn in a nonpartisan way that you can embrace. Whereas Republicans say, okay, here's our version of the maps. Democrats say, well, here's our version of the maps. And the court will have to choose or draw its own lines. Courts aren't really set up to draw lines on their own. They don't have map makers, you know, in the regular employ. So they may end up just picking a map submitted to them. This is what that process is all about.
And so basically these referenda are just basically non-binding and therefore, mm-hmm. you know, therefore show?
Yeah. I mean, like, look, they're expressing the voters' interest. The voters okay. don't like this idea, but you're not going to influence Robin Voss with a non-binding referendum about redistricting. Because remember, having covered government for a long time, this is the most political thing you can do in government that's legal. And Robin Voss has not given up that power to somebody that's not elected to draw those maps.
JR, thank you for joining us.
Anytime.
JR Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with a look at the status of Marcy's Law, a type of crime victims constitutional amendment that voters ratified in April. Now a judge says the ballot question was improper. We talk with one of the plaintiffs challenging the law right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.